Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Thursday we saw in Matthew's Gospel how that when we enter into fellowship with Christ, then we shall face trials. But that trial that we face is a must. We must face trials because through trials we're taught by Christ, and it's through the trial that of the fellowship of Christ that we're taught the importance of staying in fellowship with Christ and staying in fellowship with our brethren under the sound of the gospel. This morning I want to see that again in Acts 27. I've titled this, Except Ye Abide in the Ship. Now, the Apostle Paul here was being carried, bound. He was a prisoner. He's being carried to Rome to stand before Caesar. And there were many fellows with him in this ship. He was in a ship. And there were many different kinds of fellows with Paul in this ship. And that's a very good picture of believers in fellowship. We're all different. We come from different backgrounds. There were different kinds of people here. There was a Roman centurion. There were soldiers, Roman soldiers. There were sailors, probably from all over different parts of the world. There was Paul, minister of Christ. There was Luke, who's writing this. There was Aristarchus, who was a brother from the church at Thessalonica, who was traveling with Paul along with Luke. You have all different kinds of people in this ship. And that's what you have in Christ, in His church. We're a lot of different kinds of people in fellowship with Christ, in fellowship with one another. And then, as they're sailing, a large storm came upon them named Euroclydon. This was like a hurricane named Euroclydon. And they tried to save themselves, but they couldn't. They couldn't. This was a big ship. Big ship. Loaded down with people. Loaded down with goods. And they began to cast those goods overboard. And when you're in the trial, you realize what you need and what you don't need. The things you thought you needed are just weight. Dead weight. Weighing you down. And that's when you'll cast those things off. And they began to cast those things off. And at last, after having heard from the Lord, Paul stood up in the midst of them. Just like I'm standing here now in the midst of you in this ship. Fellows in the same ship. And I'm standing here and I'm declaring to you what Christ has said. Paul stood up and he declared what Christ said. Here's what he said, Acts 27:22. He says, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, Christ the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come," 14 more nights passed after Paul got up and said this. "When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And they sounded, and they found it was 20 fathoms. They did a test to see how deep it was, and they found it was 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. And then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day." They dropped anchor and just said, "We're going to wait till the day, till the light." "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship," now these are different shipmen here, These are different ones. Watch this. As the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they were pretending as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. They were pretending like they were dropping anchors too out of the other end of the ship. But they weren't. They were letting a lifeboat down. They're finna leave the ship. And Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. That's my title. Except ye abide in the ship. Christ had spoken to Paul. Paul was his messenger. Christ had spoken to Paul, his messenger. And Paul, his messenger, was in fellowship with these men, and he spoke Christ's word to these men. He stood up, preached what Christ told him to preach. And because of the promise that Christ gave to Paul, when he saw these men trying to jump ship, Paul said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now, here's what I want us to see. When God reveals that salvation is by being in fellowship with Christ through faith, when He reveals that salvation is by being in fellowship with Christ through faith, He reveals to us that we must abide in fellowship together. We must abide in Christ, and we must abide in Christ together. Fellows in the same ship. We must stay under His Word and hear His Word. If we're going to obey His Word, we're going to have to stay under His Word. Is that not right? And if we're going to have to hear what Christ says, and we have to stay with His people. And if we don't do this, we can't be saved. On the authority of Paul here in this beautiful picture of Christ and His church, I'm telling you, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And on Christ's authority, I say to you, except you abide in the ship, you can't be saved. Now, why is it so important to abide in fellowship with Christ and with His people? Why is that important? I'm going to show you a few things we see here in this beautiful picture. First of all, it was in the ship where Christ spoke to them through His minister, the Apostle Paul. It was in the ship where Christ spoke to these men. Look in Acts 27:22. Paul stood up and he said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying. See, the Apostle Paul was only a sinner, just like everybody else in that ship. He was a sinner like everybody else in that ship. He was going through the same storm that they were all going through. He was seasick like the rest of them were. But the difference was, Paul was Christ's messenger. The Lord was using Paul to speak the gospel. He gave him the word to speak. And that was the difference. So Paul stood up, he declared Christ's word to them. He didn't declare His word to them. He declared Christ's word to them. And that reminds me, you know, of 1 John 1:3. John, listen to this, what John said. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that's what we have pictured in our story here in the midst of this storm. So if these men are going to disobey Paul, if they're going to not heed Paul's word, who is it that they're really disobeying? Christ. Because Paul's just speaking Christ's word. So if they disobey, they're disobeying Christ's word. You see, Christ's preacher is a sinner just like everybody else in the ship. He's going through the same storm that you go through. He's suffering the same trials you're suffering. He's seasick like you are. He's just a sinner. The difference is, though, Christ has sent him to preach His word. And he's preaching Christ's word. So if we're going to heed Christ's word, then we're going to have to stay in the ship. You see, this is the means God chose to save His people. Just like they're on that voyage, going across the sea, going to a set destination, we're going across the sea. We're on a set destination. We're going to a pre destined place to be with God. And the means by which Christ brought them across that sea was to use Paul to preach His Word to them. And the way He's doing it for us in this ship is to preach His Word to us. That's the means He chose. Listen, we'll go to Romans 10. Let's look at this together. Romans 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You can't call on somebody you don't believe. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? You can't believe on somebody you hadn't heard of. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You see where this comes down to? It comes down to the glory of Christ is what it comes down to. Christ sending His preacher. And Christ preaching through His preacher. That's what this whole thing's about. That's why it pleased God to do it this way. It's very humbling to know that the way God's going to save His people is through the preaching of the gospel, using another sinner just like you to preach it. Isn't that humbling? You know, Brother Jack Shanks used to say, take advantage of every opportunity you can to shut up. And that's good. That's good advice. We don't like to shut up, especially when we're talking one-on-one with somebody. But when you're hearing the gospel preached, you don't have any other thing to do but just hush and listen. It's humbling, isn't it? It's humbling, but that's how He chose to do it. Now watch this. He says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Remember Isaiah 52? Christ said, in that day, they're going to know it's I that is speaking. That's what it's His feet that's beautiful. He sent the preacher with the gospel. He made His feet beautiful by giving Him the message to preach. And Christ said, in that day, they're going to know it's I that's speaking. My people are going to know I'm the one doing the speaking. And He speaks in the heart. But look at this. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who's believed our report? But did that change God's means because some did not believe? Because some jump ship and say, well, I believe God saves by other means. Does that change God from using the means He chose? It don't affect God. It proves the message wasn't sent to them. Look here. Look at the conclusion right here. So then, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Christ said, the word I speak unto you is spirit and life. And so He's going to send His messenger. He said it pleased God for him to save through the foolishness of preaching. And He said, so that using nobodies, so that no flesh shall glory in His presence. This is the one place no flesh is going to glory in His presence when Christ is speaking in your heart. That's right. If I'm by myself searching the Word, I could glory in my flesh. If I'm off reading some other writer, I could glory in my flesh. But when I'm sitting under preaching the gospel and it's Christ speaking in Him in my heart to me, that's the one place I can't glory. I have nothing to glory in. I'm not doing a thing but hearing by His grace. And He said, and this would be so that of God you'll be in Christ, and of God Christ will be made all to you, so that when you glory, the only one you'll glory in is Christ. That's exactly what Paul's talking about, 1 Corinthians 1. This is why it pleased God to save this way, because it gives Him all the glory. So, if we're gonna object after hearing those reasons, anybody that objects to this means God chose, after hearing those reasons, they hadn't heard Christ speak in the beginning. That's just so. That's a fact. Person who would object has not heard Christ speak this gospel. Because this is how He brings glory to Himself and doesn't allow anybody else to glory. And if anybody's upset with that, they're upset with God. That's just so. So the first reason we need to remain in fellowship is because it pleased God to save through the foolishness of preaching. And the word preached is the word of Christ Himself. And if we'd be saved by Christ, we need to hear and heed Christ's word, don't we? That's how we're going to be saved. Now, secondly, not only do we stay in the ship because it's how God chose to save His people, but also because it's in the ship, under that means, preaching the word, that we hear the message of how we shall be saved. Look here what Paul cried, verse 22. He says, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Don't we need that word? Don't you need that word on a regular basis? Think how they needed that word. You think of the picture there. They're in a ship. And we're talking about a large ship. We're talking about a sailing vessel. Not under the power of engine, under the power of wind. And they're out there in that ocean, and those waves are going up and down and up and down, and water's coming over the bow of that boat, and they just being tossed all over that boat, trying to hang on to that boat, and the ones that are down in the boat are being tossed, and they're sick, and it's miserable. It's a lot like us going through our life, isn't it? The kind of things that happen to us in our life every day out in the field working, and then you need to come to a place and hear Christ declare through His messenger, "Be of good cheer." He said, "In the world you shall have tribulation. The only place you're going to have peace is in Me. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And then look, verse 22, he said, "There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." And I get that. They're not going to be any man's loss of any man's life among you, but the ship's going to be lost. Now, what? You told us to abide in the ship? And we can't be saved except we abide in the ship, and now you're telling us the ship's going to be lost? Ship's going to be broken? But that's how you're going to be saved. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the gospel? How are we going to be saved? Abide in Christ. That's one way. And no man's life will be lost that's in Christ except Christ. His life's going to have to be broken. His life's going to have to be laid down. Look down there at verse 41. It said, "Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." Our Lord Jesus Christ is our ship of salvation. And two seas met on Him. Two seas met on Him. He came, and the justice of God met on Him. When He bore the sin of His people, the sea of justice met on Him. And was poured out on Him, and He suffered that justice to the full satisfaction of divine justice for His people. But at the same time, another sea was meeting on Him, the sea of mercy. The same one who was declaring God just was also justifying us and declaring God the justifier. And those two seas have met in Christ, truth and mercy, and they've kissed in harmony in Him. And nothing happened to Christ as God, just like the front of that ship went stuck in the ground, and nothing happened to the front of that ship. He's God. Everything He did, because He's God, gave eternal efficacy to His work so that we're eternally redeemed. But the hinder part of that ship broke. And as a man, He was broken. He was broken. He was broken for His people. That was God shedding His blood for His people. Broken. And by that justice, by those two seas meeting now, all for whom He died are saved. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." That's what Paul, that's the picture here. Abide in the ship, and there'll be no man's loss of no man's life, but the ship. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Christ died, and by His death, I live. I have life. I have life. Look down the page. See how those who could not swim made it to shore. This is how nobody died right here. You and I can't swim. There was some on that ship that could swim. We can't swim. That's God's people. We can't swim. How are we going to be saved then? Look here. Verse 43. "The centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose." They wanted to kill all the prisoners. "And he commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. But here we are now, and the rest. That's us. That's God's elect. We can't swim. How are we going to be saved? Some went on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. That's why he told them, stay in the ship. Stay in Christ. How am I going to live if I stay in Christ and Christ died? Because he was broken. You're going to go to God's, to Canaan's eternal shore on that piece of the ship, on his broken body and his shed blood. We're going to hang on to that, and that's how we're going to be brought to shore. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Beautiful picture. Where did Paul get this message to preach? Back up at verse 23. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Where do you get this message to preach? I'm not telling you my word. My word wouldn't be worth a hill of beans. You won't hear God's word. You want to hear how God says he saves. This is how God says he saves. That's what I'm declaring to you. Tell me what Christ has taught me. I'm his and I'm serving him and I'm telling you what he says. This is why we have to abide in the ship. We got to hear what Christ says. What was his message? Verse 24. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. This is my message. Just as Paul must be brought before Caesar, I'm telling you, everybody that God gave to Christ, all those that are his true elect right here that God's given me to minister to, they must be brought before God. Just like Paul must be brought before Caesar, all Christ died for must be brought before God. They must. Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that the church, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And all God's elect, for whom Christ died, must be saved. They all must be brought to that place where they're brought before him and presented to him. God gave his elect to Christ. Lo, God's given thee all them that sail with thee, he said. God's given all his people to Christ. And they must be brought before God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. This thing's not up for debate. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, or maybes about it. God gave his people to Christ, and for God to be all glorious and Christ to get all the honor, these people must be saved. And they shall. Paul believed Christ, and so do I. And I'm telling you what Paul said right there. He said, verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Don't you believe God? I believe God. You know what I'm going to do? Because if I believe God, I'm going to stay in the ship. I'm not going to part the ship. I'm staying in the ship. Preacher, you're saying you got to stay right here at this local assembly. No. No. But if we're willing to leave a place, we ought to be willing to pack up and move to another one where the gospel's preached. If I'm so offended at what's being preached at a place and I'm leaving there, I ought to be willing to confess that I never got a thing from it. God don't use lies. If it was bad, if it was justified reason to leave, I ought to be justly renouncing it as being nothing but a lie and going where I can hear the gospel preached. And that's serious now. If it's that valuable to you, that's the only way I'm not jumping ship, is I'm going to where the gospel's going to be preached. That's what we ought to do. But I believe God, and I'm going to preach Christ to you. And I believe you're going to abide in the ship if he is, because this is what he's going to do. Now, let me show you this last thing. There is a howbeit. There is a howbeit. Look at verse 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain land. Now that island that there he's talking about here was the island of Melita, which is called nowadays Malta. You can find it right down there at the foot of the Italy. And that's where Jeanette Morrell's family's from, Malta. She's Maltese. Bob calls her the Maltese Falcon. And but I'm told, I don't know if this is true, but I'm told that there's still a gospel church there now. That's where they were cast, that island. They had to be cast on that island. There was a man on that island, and he was healed by Paul. And that man was called a certain man. We usually, when you find in Scripture a certain man, that means that's somebody God's saving. That's one of His elect. And but he was cast. They must be cast on that island for that purpose. Now, what he's the picture here is, you and I are here for a purpose. We must abide in this ship. Howbeit, we're going to all be delivered. No doubt about that. Howbeit, there's a reason we're here. We must be cast wherever God's people are in this world. We must be cast there to preach this gospel to them. God chose them. Christ redeemed them. The Holy Spirit shall regenerate them. And He shall do it through the preaching of the gospel. That's why we're here. We must be cast on the island wherever they are and preach this gospel to them. That's the purpose of the reason we're here. It's not just for you and I to be saved. It's to be used of God to preach His gospel whereby He's going to save others that He's redeemed. That's why we're here. We can get selfish and think, oh, it's all about me. No, it's not all about us. It's about saving all Christ's elect through the preaching of the Word. That's the purpose. We're going to be saved in the process, but that's the purpose. And so brethren must abide in fellowship for the salvation of those Christ shall call through the preaching of the gospel. Christ, remember in John 17:20, He said He was praying for those that He had called out. But He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their God, through their word, through their gospel. See, Christ is interceding right now for you and I, who He died for, who are sitting right here in the ship. But He's not interceding for us alone. He's interceding for those who shall believe through our preaching. That's what He's doing. That's why we're here. That's why we must abide in the ship. And not only that, in fellowship with Christ, our faith's going to be tried. It's going to be proven to be the work of God. It's going to be proven and give God glory by showing that you abide in the ship. By abiding in the ship in the midst of all trial and all difficulty, that shows God's work. That brings glory to God. Look here in verse 27. It says, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed they drew near to some country, and they sounded, and they found that sure enough they would get close to land. Verse 29 says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And then there was these other shipmen, and they were trying to flee out of the ship. And they let down the boat into the sea under the color, pretending that they were casting anchors out of the foreship. And that's when Paul said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. See, get this now. After Paul stood up and declared this message that nobody's going to die here, be of good cheer, nobody's going to die. The ship's going to be lost, but we're not going to die. And Christ stood by me and told me this, and I believe God, it's going to be like He told me. After He declared that message, 14 nights went by. Up and down. Up. Up and down in that sea. Up and down in that sea. One time, Brother Paul Mahan and Gabe Stoniker and me and our wives, we went up there to Block Island and across that little bay there between Rhode Island and Block Island on the ferry. And the day we got there, they canceled the ferry because the seas were so bad. And they should have canceled it the day they let us go because the seas were still bad. And everybody on board that little ferry was just up and down. Everybody on there was seasick. And that was just a few hours. I can't imagine 14 nights of that. But these men were there for 14 nights seasick. Don't you know they was sick and just tired and worn out? But you know what? That's just a beautiful, beautiful picture of the gospel. We preach the gospel. We declare Christ, what God's doing, what Christ has done, what He shall do. But we have a voyage to go on, and we've got to go through some storm. And God brings you into deep seas, and He brings you in. Those that go down into deep waters, they see the hand of God. And He brings you into some deep trials and some storms to prove that you don't have strength in yourself, but that your strength is Christ. That's what He's doing. When He did this trial by this storm, some folks they were a testimony of God working in their heart. They believed the word they heard preached. And they dropped the anchor and waited for the day. They said, let the storm rage. We're fine with it. We drop an anchor right here. We're going to wait till it gets light. That's what a true, strong believer that God's done this work in. That's what he's done. He's dropped his anchor and he's just waiting for the day. He's going through, batting down the hatches and right out the storm. He knows Christ is working. But then this same trial, it proved that the men in that foreship, they didn't believe. You know what they were doing? They snuck up there and pretended like they were faithful. Pretended like they were casting down the anchors. But what were they doing? They were casting down the lifeboat. They finna leave. They didn't believe Paul's word. They didn't believe Christ's word. They fixed to get off the ship. They finna leave. But then Paul turns to those soldiers and he says to them, except these abide in the ship, you can't be saved. Why? You mean if they leave the ship, I can't be saved? Why? If they leave, why can't I be saved? What's the picture there? What's that saying? Except Christ save every sinner He promised to save, none can be saved. He has to save them all, or none can be saved. It's all or nothing. If He loses one, He saves none. And that won't happen. That won't happen. Look what those soldiers did in verse 32. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and they let her fall off. I'll tell you what, when that ship broke up, I bet when that ship started breaking up, I bet those fellows that standing there and they watched those soldiers cut that lifeboat away, I bet those fellows were thinking, you should have let us go. You should have let us get on that lifeboat and go. When that ship broke up and they were on a piece of that boat and they were going safely to shore, I bet they were saying, man, I'm glad we stayed in the ship. You hear the gospel preached and you may think sometime about jumping ship. But I pray Christ cuts the ropes and makes it to where you got no lifeboat but Him. And I guarantee you what will happen. You'll be glad you stayed in the ship. You'll be glad you stayed in the ship. He said this, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. I'll lose nothing. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Nobody that Christ came to save is going to ever perish. Not one. Except these abide in the ship. Nobody can be saved. Christ is going to make sure every one of His people abide in the ship. Because He's not going to lose one. He's not going to lose one. Christ said this, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. John said, that which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And here's where our fellowship is. Our fellowship's with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If you abide in that ship, you'll be saved. If He's revealed this gospel to you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do what those soldiers did. The soldiers cut that rope and they let her fall off. This is the thing that is true in salvation. You and I cannot have any just-in-case lifeboats. There can't be no insurance just in case things don't work out. It's We got to cut all the lifeboats off and let them go and say, I'm abiding in this ship alone right here. This is my salvation. That's how we're saved. Christ alone. All right, brother, let's get the two Kevins. Pass out the elements.